One of the things that I really want to encourage you in as we go into this this message today, we're looking at making a fresh start. And a lot of times when we talk about making a fresh start in our relationship with God, we're not exactly sure where to begin because we've already had that experience where we gave our heart to Jesus or we trusted in Jesus, right? But sometimes we don't know exactly how to move beyond that. Sometimes we don't know where things actually began, but we are certain of this, that everything has a beginning. Our life, school, jobs, relationships, they all have a starting point. And so as we move into this, I want to kind of help frame this out just a little bit by asking about something that's fairly current, you know, within the past year and a half. So how many of you feel like you have the online meeting figured out? Not very many. Oh, there's a few. Okay. So for those of you that have it figured out, you have some sort of a system in place, right? You have some sort of a spot, the right kind of equipment. Some of you have these really cool headsets you put on. Some of you have these really nice microphones. Some of you are using your earbuds. I mean, who knows what all the different things that you do, but you know the right angles. You know not to lay it down so everybody looks up your nose, right? If you don't lay your camera so people look up your nose, okay? Do about right here, maybe a little bit higher, okay? And you look at the camera, not at the screen, because otherwise it looks like you're just always looking down, at, you know, and you do this really weird eye thing. And so don't do that. So you got to understand the angles, and you got to know what buttons to press and which ones not to press. Some people have perfected the way of faking people out. They perfected the way to kind of just frame it just right. And it didn't take long for people to understand that there's only certain things that a camera can see. So some people have a messy workplace like this one, right? And we don't really see a problem there because there's filters for that, okay? You can replace what's actually behind you to look something like this one, nice and clean, no need for any cleanup, right? You can just pretend that that is you, right? Right there in front of that nice, clean, white background. But maybe you're not that technical, right? So another fake out is to dress up top for success and lounge below, right? But here's the thing, those small boxes have become a little bit of reality. So we've gotten used to this Zoom panel of boxes, right? We're used to this being the way that we interact. And for those of you that were raised on the Brady Bunch, this is kind of like a novel moment for you, right? You're like, hey, and the other people look up, right? Until you found that you were maybe unable to change a setting, like this unfortunate guy a little while ago, he got called the cat lawyer, right? Right? I'm not a cat, is what he said, and that is hilarious. And it's one of those things that you either know what buttons to press or don't press them at all, right? But even still, most of us pray for that audio-only meeting because there's a difference in the way we look, right? The work-from-home reality set in, it settled in, and I don't think it's going anywhere. And it's made us become masters, though, at keeping up appearances. It's made us be people that are able to manage what people see and also manage what people don't see. So a good question for you is this: do you get concerned about the image that you project to others? So you start rolling through these conversations, the way that your desk is set, the way that your camera is, you know, or just the way that you dress. The things that you say. Did I say that just right? Oh gosh. And then the whole evening, the whole next day is just replaying this conversation. And you're like, did I say it right? Did I make sure that the right things were in view? Did I use the right filter? Did I forget that I had pajama pants on? Do you see, though, are you able to see through the image that other people try to project? Because in all reality, we all have inconsistencies. Every single one of us have inconsistencies. We have a standard that we hold for others that we don't hold for ourselves. But here's the thing, others see the hypocrisy in that. In fact, some people, though, participate in those things right along with us. So for this to change, though, for us to change the hypocrisy, keeping up an image and living somewhat of a double life, there's something that we have to do. We have to try and figure out what is true in us and what we hope to be true in us. We have to figure out what's the current reality that I'm in. We have to figure out what is the current reality that I'm in. How can we make things be consistent? What is true in me and what we hope to be true? What is true in me and what I hope to be the truth that comes out of me? It's like we're looking like a Christian, and being a Christian. Those are two very different realities. Looking like one and behaving like one are different. Looking like one where you grew up, maybe depending on how you were raised, it was putting on just the right type of clothing. It was having the right type of shoes, the right type of hat, the right type of jacket. In fact, it was the right kind of Bible. And to be honest, this is not a very spiritual Bible because it's not thick enough, right? But here's the reality. It doesn't matter how many camps you went to, what region you were raised in. It doesn't matter any of those things. The description of what a Christian's life is supposed to look like, well, it will differ. So you show up on Sunday dressed to the nines and you say the right things, but you can still be very far from God. And I think that's one of the things that we have the hardest time admitting. That I come to church and I participate in the programs, I participate in what's going on, and I sit in the worship service and I sing the songs and I listen to the message and I pray and I'm dressed like I'm right there. And I listen like I'm right there. But if you were to ask me to be completely honest with you, sometimes you say, you know what? I feel like I'm the farthest from God than I've ever been in my life. Because somewhere along the way, we were told that a lot of being a Christian was the way that you looked. How big your Bible was, the version of the Bible that you read out of. That being in church was something that made you right with God and made you right with others. But if we're honest, though, some of us attend church out of guilt, right? If my mom knew I wasn't going to church, then she would wring my neck. Anyone ever said that? Anyone here today? Because don't raise your hand. Anyone here today because of that? But sometimes we put these external things on top of us, and we are determined to think that possibly our attendance is somehow putting us in God's good graces. Some of us turned out to be etc. Christians. In fact, that's really what I was growing up. Etc. Christians, ETC, Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas. Those were the times that we prayed, and those were the times that we went to church. It changed a little bit, but it didn't change much. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't until I got out of the house that I recognized something that maybe you don't know. God desires to do a great work in you. In fact, I didn't know until I got out of the house and on my own that God desired to do a great work in my life. Because following Jesus means that we change from the inside out. And if we're not changing from the inside out, then we're doing it wrong. For me, it was a change in direction. My whole life I had planned out when I was 18 years old. Anyone else been there? Anybody 16 and have their life planned out? Anybody 50 and have no idea what the plan for their life is? All right, good deal. So God gave me a change in direction. He called me out. I had a certain plan that I was going to be in a certain field and I was going to do certain things and I was going to have certain success. I was going to have a certain figure in my bank account, a certain type of home, and a certain type of car. And God called me out, and I wrestled with God. I wrestled with God, saying, God, I have these desires. This is my plan, God. And to be honest, it was one of those things, God, this is my plan. Why don't you do this and just bless it? God, would you just bless those choices that I've made? I had a battle with God over my desires and his plan. So God brought me then to a crisis of belief. He brought me to the very brink of, do I go right or do I go left? Or do I stay straight or do I take a whichever direction you want to say it was? If it's a left or a right, I don't know which way is the good direction for you, but I think it was a good direction. But in that moment, it was a watershed moment. And I remember very vividly the problem that I was presented with is that I had my plan and I was going towards it and there was nothing that was going to stop me. But then God interceded and his Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go until I chose. His Holy Spirit wouldn't let me go until I chose. Am I going to go forward and do what God is telling me that he created me to do? Or am I going to go my own way? And for some of us in this room, we had that moment. And some of us chose to go our own way. And some of us are struggling in that moment right now. And we're struggling between going our own way and going the way that God is saying that we should go. But in that moment, as I struggle between going in a future of being an engineer and certain success, right? I was certain being an electrical engineer was going to bring me success. God said, no, there's a different plan for you. And in that moment, I decided, God, if I'm going to go, I don't want to go anywhere that you aren't, God. I want to go where you are. And so the old at that moment was gone, and the new had come. So the verse that God gave me, as I was struggling through this time, and I was asking God, what is it that you want? What is it that you want? Because I don't want anything that you don't want. He gave me Luke 9:62. And it's Jesus talking about following after him in the kingdom. He says, Jesus replied, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. Anyone that says, I will put my hand to the work and then begins looking around for all the other opportunities rather than being about the work that God has put in front of them, they're not fit to serve in the kingdom of God. And that verse has been the guiding point of my ministry and the decisions that I've made in my life. And everything that we've encountered as a family from that point forward. Because I'll tell you, sometimes the decisions that God has you make, people scratch their heads. Your wife says, are you crazy? But all in all, it's about following after God and learning what does it look like to submit to what his will is for you in your life. Another verse that is super meaningful to me actually comes from it comes from the Bible. Okay, it's a verse, but it also comes from a study called Experiencing God. And it talks about learning and understanding the will of God. And it's Jesus saying, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And understanding that there's a very direct connection between being invested in your relationship with God and being fruitful. And understanding the moment that you disconnect, you're in the situation where you can do nothing to be fruitful in the kingdom. So today we're going to talk about steps to growing spiritually. And there's three steps. They're really hard. Read God's word and pray alone. Read God's word and pray in community and repeat. If you would read God's word and pray, be connected to God personally. Read God's word and pray in a community, then you will have spiritual growth as long as you continue to repeat the process. The reward from doing these steps daily and weekly, even when your life is very busy, even when you don't feel like it, even when you're tired, even when you've had a bad day, when you've had a bad week, or a month, or a year. The reward for this is that you will grow in your relationship with God. And if you don't, you won't grow. In fact, your faith will weaken. And Jesus showed us this illustration through the vine in John chapter 15, and that's where we're going to rest in today, is John chapter 15, where Jesus says in verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the way, right? We learned that in the very beginning of the book of John. We learned that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. Jesus is the way, he's the source. He is the vine, the central vine of life. And God the Father is the one that cares for the whole plant. Jesus says that every branch that is in me, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, the Father takes away. Not every branch that grows from a vine dresser keeps. In fact, a vine dresser, I don't know if you've spent any time learning about vine dressing, about how they care for vineyards. But it's very interesting that sometimes the vines that look like they should be kept are the ones that they remove because of the places that they're growing, the ways that they're growing. And sometimes if they're left unchecked, it will actually pull the growth away from the rest of the plant. So not every branch is fruitful or kept. But Jesus says every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it could bear more fruit. Now, I don't know if you've heard the idea of God pruning you, right? That God puts you through a difficult situation so that you can learn how to be more close to him. Be careful. Be careful. Don't always ascribe difficulties to the work of God in your life. Can you learn from them? Absolutely. Can you grow from them? You bet. But God, when he brings change, when he prunes your life, he does it for your good, that you may bear fruit. But see, bearing fruit doesn't mean that you have prosperity. Bearing fruit doesn't mean that you have a good day, and it doesn't mean that you don't walk through a sickness. Bearing fruit is about the kingdom. It's about God's purpose in your life. It's about the spread of the gospel. It's about speaking the words of truth. Jesus continues, he says, abide in me. Or other translations say, remain in me. And I in you. As a branch can't bear fruit by itself. Anyone ever done any landscaping where you cut a few branches off a tree? For a while, those branches look just like they were on the tree. But when you remove them from the tree and they're cast aside, what happens very soon? They wither. They dry up. They become brittle. And eventually they're only good for one thing, the fire. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it is connected to the vine, neither can you, Jesus said, unless you abide in me. Without the vine, the branch is good for burning. But if it's attached, it's good for bearing. This is the tension between union and communion. This is the relation between being united in Christ and being in communion with Christ. It's the understanding that Paul brings out in his letters about the body and its members, that we're all members of the body of Christ, and each member has its function. Or the example in the scripture from the bride and the bridegroom, or the sheep and the shepherd. A member that is cut off from the body, it would die. Cut your finger off and don't go see a surgeon really fast, right? What happens? A member cut from the body will die. The marriage of two individuals creates the union, right? Anyone can get married, but not everybody can be in communion in their marriage. Communion is the daily love and devotion. That's what maintains the communion in marriage. The shepherd brings the sheep into the flock. But the sheep have to follow the shepherd. The sheep have to go where the shepherd has them go. They have to pasture where he says to pasture, and they need to keep in the boundaries that he's created for them in order for them to be protected and to abide under his provision. In short, what Jesus is telling us and what we're understanding today is that we must learn to abide, to keep fellowship with Christ, to be connected to the vine. And that's why God in his wisdom gave us his word, and the people that followed and listened to God had the understanding that God gave them to write these things down. And as it progressed through time, as the letters were circulated, as the knowledge was written down, they decided it might be a good idea for us to have all of this in one place. Movable type press, wonders of binding and putting things together, gives us a Bible that we can carry anywhere that we want. Now, I realize that this might be a little bit too 20th century, right? So God gave us, for good or bad, technology. And you have every translation in the world in your pocket. God gives us access to life through his word, that we can keep fellowship with Christ, that we can be in communion, united to the vine, so that our lives can produce fruit. So Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Remaining in connection with Christ, being nourished in connection with him, being transformed into his image. That's what reading the pages of Scripture does. Every time you sit and you read a story about what it means to understand the character of God, what it means to understand our place as the body of Christ, what it means to be a person that walks with wisdom. I mean, you look in the Proverbs and you find these rules for daily living. You read the Psalms and you learn how to have joy. You learn how to have sorrow. You learn how to have angst, but still give glory and honor to God. You read the pages of the history of the Hebrew people, and you understand God's faithfulness over time. You read the Gospels, and you fully understand that God loved us so much that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. In the pages of his scripture, we find the ability to stay connected to the true vine of Jesus Christ. One of the great things about the scripture is it helps us to understand if the words that we have heard will help us be connected to God. If the words that are spoken in a Bible study from this stage, if they don't resonate with the words that are printed in the scripture, they're not going to help you be connected. So always understand our responsibility as people who are loved by God, who are given new life through Christ, is to be a student and a person who always checks their heart and the words that they hear against the words that are written in these pages. Because it's through that connection that we have union and communion with Christ. It's through those pages that we understand what it looks like to become an image bearer of the one who made us. It's how we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's how we understand what it means to be in Christ, what it means to live a life for Christ, and what it looks like as we see Christ as the source of life. Jesus says, if you're not connected to the vine, the one that does not abide, he says, is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and they're thrown into the fire and burned. Is there fruit in your life? Is there fruit that looks like Christ is in your life? If not, consider that you may not be as connected to Christ as you think you are. The overflow, the what happens out of being connected to Christ in our life is fruit. Fruit that bears the image of Christ. Fruit that brings others to understand who he is. And this serves as a warning to us all. That disconnected branches, they get heaped up and they get burned. Jesus says, if you abide in me and in my words abide in you. How do his words abide in us? Got a handy reference manual right here, right? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it would be done for you. And it's at that moment that we're like, all right, this is that magic genie time, right? God's word said, whatever I ask will be done for me, right? How many of you have tried that? Okay, be honest. I should see every hand up here, right? How many of you have seen that fail? Every hand, right? The caveat here that Jesus was speaking, listen, if you abide in my words, if you obey my words, if you are connected to me and you understand my heart, you are transformed from the inside out, the Holy Spirit is at work in you. If you do those things, then your choices, your actions, your thoughts, they will align with my kingdom values. They will align with promoting the gospel. Because God's words and the expression of God's word through you is the very reflection of the heart of Christ. So it matters that we know God's word. It matters that it's in our hearts, that we've memorized it. Not the whole thing. I mean, it'd be great, right? But we memorize, meditate, and learn. Because it's from that very thing that the reflection of Christ is polished and opened up so others could see. Jesus says, by this my Father is glorified. If you abide in my word, my Father will be glorified. And you will bear much fruit, and you will prove to be my disciples. If you live your life according to the scriptures, and you learn what it means to abide in Christ, what it means to abide in the word and follow the instruction of the word, the transformation inside you of the Holy Spirit of Christ in you and in your heart will be a steady diet of God's word and prayer, God's word and prayer with others. It bears fruit. If God's people would bear fruit, it would bring glory to the Father. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. He says, abide in my love. Fruitfulness is the evidence of Christ. And the evidence of Christ is love for others. Love for God. We need to learn how to be connected to the vine and obedient through love. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He says there's a connection. If you keep my words, you'll be in my love, just like I've shown you how to keep the Father's words and abide in his love. If you do as I instruct you to do, you keep my command. Oh, by the way, what's his command? Jesus gave it a little bit earlier in the book of John, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. He said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, he says, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love for one another is the fruit of the command of Christ. These things, Jesus said, I have spoken to you, that my joy will be made, my joy will be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus spoke about abiding in him. He spoke about growing in our relationship with him by being connected to him. And our relationship with God grows through being connected to Christ through his word. That's the connection. See, the Christian life will bring you joy. Not just a little bit of joy, but full joy. A joy that is complete. A joy that spills out onto others. Because here's the reality, and this is what I want you to think about when you think about bearing fruit. Real spiritual fruit is not a seedless grape. Real spiritual fruit has seeds. And they're cast out and they grow. Real spiritual fruit multiplies. It has in the seeds for more fruit. It will go from producing fruit in one life to producing it in another. There will be more fruit, or as the scriptures say, much fruit. A true branch will always be connected to the vine. And being connected is the only way that it will stay living. Disconnection brings withering. So this is the truth. There will always be fruit where there is life. Connected and healthy branches bear fruit. So if we learn from the example of Christ in John chapter 15, that abiding in Christ will bring joy and it will bear fruit. When we love Jesus and we keep his commands, we'll experience a deeper and more meaningful way of living our life and finding the joy that is found in bringing the light of Christ to others. So my question for you today, I had two questions, but I chose one. The other one was, are you fake fruit or real fruit? But I figured this one was better. Are you connected or are you just keeping up appearances? But the good news is today, you can begin fresh today. You can start with faith in Jesus if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. You can make a commitment to read your Bible more. And I'm not talking about starting in Genesis and saying I'm going to read it in a year. Because how many of you started that one and you ended somewhere around, Leviticus, right? And you said this year is going to be the year and then you ended around Leviticus, right? It matters that you have a steady diet of Scripture. You don't have to go and gorge yourself. You can take bit by bit, instruction by instruction, love letter by love letter, and grow. You can learn to begin today in reading the Scriptures, learning to pray, and doing those things on repeat. Read, pray, repeat. And as a result, you will grow. And as a result, you'll learn what it means then to spend time with God and abide in Jesus. Would you pray with me?